Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, Numbers 851 to 920. MR. Number 891. Alpha and Omega. The Alpha of the Omega. There are times when important movements must be made in a crisis that the Lord permits. The development of an evil work which has long been in minds and hearts. The work of advancement in the proclamation of truth has at such times been greatly hindered by specious workings, which are the Alpha of the Omega, which means very much to the people who are in any way connected with parties who have received the warnings of the Lord, but refused to heed them. Omega 2. One of the most subtle delusions. We are now to be on guard and not drawn away from the all-important message given of God for this time. Satan is not ignorant of the result of trying to define God and Jesus Christ in a spiritualistic, used here in reference to a system of interpretation, not spiritism, popularly called spiritualism, way that sets God and Christ as a non-entity. The moments occupied in this kind of science are, in the place of preparing the way of the Lord, making a way for Satan to come in and confuse the minds with mysticisms of his own devising. Although they are dressed up in angel robes, they have made our God and our Christ a non-entity. Why? Because Satan sees the minds are all fitted for his working. Men have lost track of Christ and the Lord God, and have been obtaining an experience, that is, Omega 2, one of the most subtle delusions that will ever captivate the minds of men. We are forbidden to discuss the character or set the imagination in a train of conjecture. Ellen White, impressed to delay sending to Kellogg. Messages received in Europe. At times I have felt that I must print all the warnings given me for Dr. J.H. Kellogg, especially some that were given me while in Europe. But I have not yet done this, because I have been impressed to wait. If I should make a strong move in this direction, the battle would be on. Those who are opposing the light God has given would feel that they had been attacked, and would claim that they were compelled to make moves that otherwise they would not have made. And it would take much of our time to meet the issue. Let us hold on patiently for a little while, and let the elements break forth that are struggling into life. Let not too many articles be published in the Review and Herald that are of a character to stir up strife. Satan's deceptive science will overcome us unless we are conformed to Christ's will. Unless the heart, mind, soul, and strength are completely conformed to the will of Christ, the science studied will not give entrance into the narrow way and the straight gate that lead to eternal life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Because broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Those who regard it as a valuable science to be sharp, to take advantage of and cheat their neighbors, are cheating their own soul, and unless they change, they can never enter the holy city. No crooked dealing, no deceptive science, will find a place in the heavenly courts. As I am shown these special things of Satan's science, and how he deceived the holy angels, I am afraid of the men who have entered into the study of the science that Satan carried into the warfare in heaven. Oh, how I have longed to be where I should not be compelled to see the same science practiced on this earth by medical practitioners. How my heart has been agonized as I have seen souls accepting the inducements held out to them to unite with those who were warring against God. When they once accept the bait, it seems impossible to break the spell that Satan casts over them, because the enemy works out the science of deception as he worked it out in the heavenly courts. He uses human agencies to carry on his work with other human beings. He has worked so diligently with men in our day that he has won the game again and again. Never leave a soul unwarned. What, I ask, can be the end? Again and again have I asked this, and I have always received the same instruction. Never leave a soul unwarned. Those who abound in Satan's toils are the most confident and the most boastful. They will protest at the thought that they are ensnared, and yet it is the truth. 311, 1905, pages 10, 11. To Daniels Prescott and their associates, October 30th, 1905.
Christ refuted Satan's boast that no one could live a spotless life. Christ came to suffer in man's behalf, for Satan had made the boast that no one could withstand his devising and in this world live a spotless life. Clothed with human nature, the Redeemer subjected himself to all the temptations with which human beings are beset, and he overcame on every point. The record of his life is given to the world, that no one need be in doubt as to the power of the grace of God. To every soul who strives for perfection of Christian character, this world becomes a battlefield on which is fought the controversy between good and evil. And everyone who trusts in Christ will gain the victory. Do not let Kellogg and Jones gain control of Battle Creek Tabernacle. Brother, Russell Hart. I want you to stand rooted and grounded in the truth. My interest in your father and mother was not a small one. In the past, we have often been united in our labors, and I have a deep interest in you. I want to see you bearing an unwavering testimony for the truth. My position is unchanged. According to the light given me, unless a decided stand is taken to safeguard the tabernacle in Battle Creek, theories will be presented in it that will dishonor God and his cause. I have been shown that if you understood the matter, you would be as decided as I am in the testimony you bear. I must act in accordance with the light the Lord has given me, and I say to you that Elder Jones and Dr. Kellogg will make every effort possible to get possession of the tabernacle, in order that in it they may present their doctrines. We must not allow that house to be used for the promulgation of error until our work is done in Battle Creek. The tabernacle was built by the Seventh-day Adventist people. It is their property, and their loyal representatives should control it. On this question, I will stand firm, and if you and others will take a decided stand with us, you will be doing that which God requires of you at this time. We must make sure the control of the tabernacle, for powerful testimonies are to be born in it in favor of the truth. This is the word of the Lord to you and to others. Elder Jones will work in every possible way to get possession of this house, and if he can do so, he will present in it theories that should never be heard. I know whereof I speak in this matter, and if you could have seen the end from the beginning, if you had believed the warnings that have been given, you would have moved understandingly. I am glad that you wrote so that I can express myself to you. I want you to understand that as long as the Lord gives me testimonies to bear, I will bear them, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. I have been clearly shown that we must safeguard the tabernacle. The Lord has a message for the people in Battle Creek, and I may act a part in giving them this message. I am in my 80th year, but my mind is clear. My faith is strong. May the Lord give you clear light, that you may not be numbered among those who have been seduced from the truth, is my prayer. White Estate, Washington, D.C., November 12, 1981.